chapter number 19. We're going to look at the idea of baptism a little bit tonight. And the message is going to be about a little unusual situation dealing with baptism. But we'll just talk about baptism, I guess, really in general. Most of us know what a baptism is. We know how to be baptized. We know all that kind of stuff. But you're going to see something a little different in this reading that we read tonight, how that the baptism that is given here is a baptism for the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a whole lot of ideas and thought and talk about that. And like I say, we'll get into it. We'll begin to discuss that. And I hope that it will resolve some thoughts, some questions, and some things in people's minds. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 19. It said, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and for giving us your blessings, and Lord, for watching over us, for providing for us, all the things that you've done. We thank you. And again, we thank you for your word. I pray you take it now, bless it, empower it, help us to understand it, give us direction and wisdom through it. And Lord, if there's somebody that needs to be saved, I pray you'd speak to their hearts, show them what they need from you tonight. And we'll thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to think about this. As I said, we'll look at this, and we'll call this section baptism issues. Baptism issues, because that's exactly what these guys were having. They were having issues about baptism. And I'll tell you this, there's people today that have issues about baptism, don't they? I mean, we've got some folks that teach so many different things about baptism, and, you know, you got to be in our pool, and it's got to be our water, or you're not really baptized. Or there's some of them that said, well, that really doesn't matter, and it's not an issue, and it's not a thing. And, you know, we just got all kinds of thoughts, scattered thoughts all over the place about the idea of baptism. So let's look at this. Now, we got to look at this tonight because it is here before us, and it presents some, as I said, some issues and some problems in our culture and in our thinking and in our churches today when you begin to read this. All right? So let's dig in it and see what's going on. First of all, I want you to notice this, that when we read this, let me just say this, we all have some questions. We all have some questions. We got some questions like, what in the world is going on right here? And I think, as I said, you get into a lot of churches, and it may be just whatever denomination that you get into. Some folks are going to say, oh, this means this, and others are going to say, no, it doesn't mean, it means something else. You know, there's going to be all sorts of opinions on it. And I will tell you this, there's some things that are here that even some of the most learned and most respected scholars don't agree on as far as some of the things that are going on. Most of the issues, though, are resolvable. And just like I have written down in my notes, I'll tell you, a good biblical understanding of the Scriptures can help get rid of the shadows of any doubt. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying go to the Bible and find you some answers for some of the things that we may have questions about. Okay? It takes Bible to answer a lot of the questions. So let's dig into it. And I say, well, first of all, we have some questions. When you look at this little section of Scripture here, we got some questions. First of all, I guess the first question that we ask is, who is this group of disciples that we're seeing? Now, just read with me, if you will. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, he found some disciples, and he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, if you remember, last week when we were talking about a fellow by the name of Apollos, all that he knew was the understanding about John and John's preaching. That was as far as his understanding went. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Remember what we were saying about him last week, Apollos? We talked about how that in the beginning he had some light. And then after Priscilla and Aquila came and talked to him, he got more light. And then after that, after God began to speak with him and show him and deal with him in those things, and he understood the stuff that Paul had been preaching, that Aquila and Priscilla told him, then thank God he's ready to go out and spread that light to somebody else. So what this right here, now this will speak to this same issue as about Apollos. Apparently there were a lot of people in the world in this time, in this day that they lived, that had been followers and what we'd call disciples of John. So that's who this group of people were. They were disciples of John. I mean, they were listening to John. They had heard John. And apparently, there were people like Apollos that had gone on and preached and done and talked about the things that John had preached about. What did John do? John came preaching in the wilderness, and he told people to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand, right? Isn't that what John came in preaching and telling and teaching? He came in with that very group of words. You go over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 3, and you'll see how that John comes on the scene and everybody sees him. And John is a very bold and dynamic preacher. As a matter of fact, you know what it says? It says he came dressed in camel hair. He was eating honey, wild honey and locusts. I mean, he was kind of a mountain man. He was kind of a Elijah type preacher. He came on the scene and people really paid attention to him. And you do notice, if you go back and read that, that he did assemble a group of followers. You remember what it talks about? That two of his disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to ask Jesus some questions. And that wound up being, one of them probably was Andrew, Peter's brother, and the other was probably Philip that later went on and got Nathaniel, and they all began to follow Jesus. So these guys originally became disciples of John. Well, even into this day, after Jesus has died, Jesus has resurrected, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and years have gone by, there's still people around that believed what John had preached. Now, is that right, or is that wrong, or is that, you know, what is that? Well, we don't know. I mean, we're not really given that real clear information right here. But I can tell you this, when we look at the scripture, we'll find, I think, a little better and deeper answers. A second question that comes up. Now, who are these guys? Well, obviously, they're followers, they're adherents, they are disciples of John the Baptist. Let me ask you a question about that. Is that a bad thing? No. I don't think it's a bad thing, because it tells me that they have some light, just like we were talking about Apollos. He had some light, but are they really going to get the rest of the light, and is that going to help them in their lives? So second of all, not only are we looking at it and saying, who is this group of disciples? Second of all, we'll ask this question. Are these men already saved? And that's a good question, isn't it? Are these men already saved? And as I said, there are any number of scholars. I mean, some that go back into the 1800s and some that are more modern day and, you know, wherever you want to pick. And the thought on that is divided. I read several of them, and there's some that said, yeah, man, those guys were saved. They just needed a little more information. And there's other people that said, no, they were not saved because, you know, they had their issues. But you say, well, preacher, how do we know? How do we know? Well, let me just tell you this. I think an important thing is, what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say about being saved? Why don't you take your Bible and look with me into the book of Romans in chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And listen, Paul is writing to us in Romans chapter number 8. He's talking about how that we are to be in Christ Jesus, right? He's talking about being in Christ Jesus. Look in verse number 6. Paul says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Listen, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, we all got that. We got it. Okay, you got to be spiritually minded. But look at verse number 9. And Paul tells these folks in Rome, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Listen, "if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Here's an important part of this verse. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Amen? Does that help clear some things up for you? I think we can look at these men and say, hey, they've got a good heart. They're on the right track. They've got some light. They're in a certain position. But I don't believe that they're saved by biblical standards. I believe they're wanting to be right with God. I believe they've got every intention. I mean, they're trying to follow some of the greatest preaching that you'd ever heard when John the Baptist came. They're trying to live a right kind of life. They're trying to point people to God. As a matter of fact, you go back and read that where we were last week, and it talks about how that Apollos was trying to get everybody to believe in God and believe, and he preached to them out of the Old Testament scriptures, and he had a lot of things that he was saying. But you know what? He just didn't have enough light about who Jesus really was. And I think this is the same issue with these men right here. Are they saved? I don't think they are at this point. But can I tell you this? Here's a good thing. We find out that they are very, very receptive to the things of God. Amen? Isn't that good? Okay, so let's ask this question. Here they are. And as far as we can understand, according to Scripture, doesn't really look like they're saved. So what does that baptism that they have received already from John mean? What does that baptism really mean? Look with me back in your Bible. Go back to the book of Matthew, if you will. And let's look in Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. And you'll see that in verse number 1, it said, "In these days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." And this is what he's and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And then it talks about who he was. And it says, the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. "Then went out him all to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So I'm telling you, what does the baptism of John mean? It means that people are on the right track. These guys are on the right road. They have repented of their sins. They are trying and wanting to change their life. Their intentions are good and honorable and honest. But look what John goes on and tells them a little bit further. Look down in verse number 11. John says this, and this is him talking, John. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." That's what those guys had done. They had been baptized in water, and they had done it unto a repentance of their sins. He said, "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen? I mean, that's Bible, right? And I'm just, as I told you earlier, if you want to get rid of doubt, a good biblical understanding of scriptural issues of doctrine is going to pull the shadows away from your doubt.
What does it take? Brother, I'm telling you, it takes. Why in the world Paul could have said, well, you guys are all right. Y'all don't need to hear anything from me. He didn't do that. Do you see what he does to them? He asked them some questions. He begins to be very concerned about their understanding and their issue and their baptism. And again, you don't see Paul jumping on them. You don't see Paul finger pointing. You don't see Paul laughing and saying, you bunch of dummies. I mean, you don't see any of that because it's not appropriate. And it's not right. He understands the situation there. Can I tell you, there's folks tonight outside these doors. They just need to hear the truth. They've heard something else, and they've fallen for that. They've heard ABC 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and you're okay. They've heard that. I mean, some of them's heard, well, you get in our pool, let us dip you in the water, and you're okay. We'll sign you up on the church, and you're all right. Brother, can I tell you, people just need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth. And that is what Paul is trying to get across to these men. And again, it looks like, just from this fact, that there is a prevalence of this kind of belief in Paul's time. And, you know, you cannot fault people for what they don't know. I mean, sometimes we all are in a place of biblical ignorance. But when you find out, you need to get on the right track and get on board. Amen. And I'll just tell you, there have been some things in my life that I've had to learn. And I'd say, oh, well, I really didn't understand that like I thought that I did. Amen. And you know what? Got on the right track, and God said, here you go. Here's the scripture. Here's the wisdom, the insight, and the help. Okay? So here's these guys. And as I say, they have the baptism that comes from John. And again, in that day when John came and Jesus was coming behind him, what John was doing was right. What John was doing was good. But what John was doing was simply preparing people to receive what Jesus had to say and to do. Amen? Because, well, we understand that as we read on further here, and you and I just know it from our personal experience and our personal study of the Scripture. So, we have some questions about this whole issue. Now, people are going to ask you sometimes, or they're going to make this statement, well, what about over there in the book of Acts where them fellas was... And you're going to hear that, right? People are going to say, well, now, wait a minute. I read over in chapter 19, here's some people, and they're asking Paul, and Paul's asking them about baptism, and they say they... And then they get baptized, and then here they are speaking in tongues and doing all this kind of stuff. Brother, you better get your theology all straightened out, okay? Because you're in a transitional period, and again, these people are not held accountable for what they don't know. Now, when you do know it, then you're held accountable. When you've heard the Word of God, when you've reacted to the truth of the Word of God, however you react, you're responsible at that point. Okay? So you see this, Paul begins to tell them about this. Okay? So we got some questions, okay? We got questions about this. Second of all, I want you to look at this. Notice we see the quandary of these disciples of John. These men are in a little bit of a, well, what do we do now? I mean, there's something else. I mean, really, when you look what Paul says to them. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In verse number 2. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We were not aware that that was something that had to be done to be saved. Okay? To be saved. Now again, we're in a different day and time than today. And you just heard me read out of the book of Romans in chapter number 8, verse number 9. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he said, that he doesn't belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, now that's Bible. That's truth. Okay, you can underline that, highlight it, underscore it, whatever you need to do. But make sure that you've got that. But you say, but what about these guys? Well, again, they just haven't heard everything that they need to hear. And they're in a quandary. They're in a place of, well, what are we supposed to do, Paul? They said, we haven't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't know anything about what you're talking about. Now, let me just say this. Now, you just read that with me over there in Matthew 3:11, where John told them, he said, I'm baptizing you with water. He said, but there's one mightier than me that's coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, maybe there was some misunderstanding. Maybe they didn't get it. Maybe I don't know. I don't know exactly why. But they have missed something somewhere. They have missed it. But aren't you glad, as I told you last week, when God gives you and you have a little light, thank God he'll always send more light. Amen? Isn't that a good thing that God sends more light upon those that are really and heartfeltly desiring to be what God wants them to be? And listen, the Bible said when they told him that, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. He said, well, you've been baptized, and, you know, they might even talk about it. And they said, well, we were baptized. John, we heard somebody preaching and saying, John said, you got to be baptized and repent. And we did that. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's what John did. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, there's people today who tell you, well, being baptized ain't that important. Oh, well, apparently it is. We've done been reading through here, and apparently it's a pretty important thing, wasn't it? Why in the world did Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch out in the desert, why did he say, well, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, well, nothing keeps you. But as long as you believe, he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And old Philip said, come on, let's get in the water. Amen. I mean, baptism was important, right? Everywhere that Paul is going, he is preaching those principles and those doctrines about being saved by grace. But also, there's an issue of baptism. There's the issue of baptism. And Paul understands that this is an important biblical doctrine because, hey, and we'll get to it here in a few minutes, it says something. And particularly the fact that the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life. Okay? Now, don't get too far out there on that ledge. Hang on with me and let's look at it, all right? So here's we see the quandary of these men. First of all, you see their uncertainty, right? They are not sure about what to do. There, as I said, they said, we have not heard. I mean, they're just uncertain about what are we supposed to do. But I want you to understand, when Paul begins to preach to them, Paul brings to them the clarity that they need. I mean, Paul says to them, you need this baptism. You were baptized in the things that John said and baptism of repentance. That's good. Can I tell you, thank God people still need to repent of their sins. And that's what John was preaching. Go back and read that a few more times if you want to. John came on the scene preaching, repent ye. And he looked at a bunch of them and that were some of the religious dudes of the day, and he said, you generation of viper, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I mean, he just pointed his finger and said, y'all need to get right with God. And that's just the kind of preacher he was. And that was the kind of power that he needed. And that was the kind of position that he filled when God put him here. And that's what he was supposed to do. But then he said, but all I'm doing is baptizing with water. There's somebody after. Can I tell you what that means? That means the guy that baptized you, it ain't much, okay? I mean, it don't matter if it was me or if it was Brother Frayberry or some other preacher, whoever you know, and they got you in a pool and they baptized. Well, Brother James Frayberry baptized me. Well, hallelujah. Brother Steve Kemp baptized me. I mean, that don't mean nothing. Paul said that there's some of them that said, well, I'm baptized by Cephas, and some said of Apollos, and some said, Paul said, that ain't nothing. None of that means anything. Don't get too high and mighty in who did that. But Paul says, here, you need to hear this, he tells them. He says, here's something that'll bring some clarity. You need this baptism. What is it? He said, you need to be baptized, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard that, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, preacher, when y'all get up there and you're baptizing people, now listen, my Bible tells me, Paul talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's just what we're supposed to do. That's what I do whenever I'm baptizing somebody. I'm calling on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And hey, they all show up. Right. You know, when Jesus got baptized, there's God the Son himself. God the Holy Spirit came down. And God the Father in a voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. They're all there at that baptism, and I want them all there when any of y'all get baptized. Amen? Okay. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, when they heard that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And look, and said, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Amen? Paul, look, there was some clarity, and now, beyond after Paul's preaching, they got some clarity. But now I want you to notice this. They get a new identity after this baptism. It said when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, or came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men, there were about a dozen of them that Paul baptized in this way at this time. About a dozen folks. And now I don't know that that means anything. It's just, you know, kind of a footnote into it. There are 12 of them, okay? That's fine. But what I'm saying is this, man. These guys began to realize that they had a new identity when they were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. It changed their lives. Now, they were already undoubtedly good men. They were undoubtedly seeking after God. They were undoubtedly probably doing good deeds and helping people. I mean, all of those things. But now, brother, all of that aside, they've now been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's what's happened to these guys, okay? So let's look at it just kind of closing out here in just a few minutes. Let's say this. We've got... Let's do a little quiz about baptism. Boy, I hope y'all get it a pop quiz, because here it comes. Okay? Get your answer sheets ready. Grades will be graded and taken. I'm kidding. We're not grading anybody or doing it. But we're just going to look at a few things. Let's do a little clue, a little quiz about being baptized. First of all, what does the baptism of the Spirit mean? All right, now, as I say, we live in a day when there's people that'll tell you, oh, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, it's, and a lot of places we'll call, they'll say, it's the second blessing. Well, I don't know about the second, but man, can I tell you something? I was there for the first one, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and the fifth one. Amen? I mean, listen, it is something that is pretty simple. What does that mean? I want to tell you what this means. When you get saved and you're baptized, and that's what the Bible says, you're baptized by the Spirit of God, it puts you, what this does is it puts you into the mystical body of Christ. It puts you in Him. Amen? I mean, that's all. I mean, there's a whole lot more rhetoric and wording and things that we can throw around. But very simply put, it puts you in Christ. And isn't that what we want? Thank God, aren't you glad? Thank God that Jesus, hey, has accepted you and put you into His body. The Bible said when you get saved that you become part of the bride. You become part of the body. You're part of the building that God is making up of His believer. You get in Him. Amen. Paul writes the entire book of Ephesians and talks about us being in Christ. What glory. what joy, what thrill and rapture there is to the saints of God simply because we're in Him. You ought to get in Him. Oh, thank God, are you in? Boy, if you ain't in Him, you've missed out. You've got to be in Christ. Remember? We just read over here. Flip back over again. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're not in him. You're not in him. He said, and if Christ, look in verse number 10, and if Christ be in you, he said, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ, okay? Into Christ. But let's talk about the baptizing or the gift. Let's talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a connection between these two. Connection between being baptized by the Holy Spirit and having the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into people's lives, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit puts Christ in you. It puts Him in you. He's now in you. He's working on the inside of you. He's come to dwell in you. He's come to work in you. He's come. You know what Jesus said? He said, when I leave, I'm going to pray God the Father, and He's going to send the Comforter. And when that Comforter comes, He'll be in you, and He'll be with you. He'll be in you so that He can lead you. He can instruct you. He can point out to you when you're wrong and when you do something wrong. I mean, the Holy Spirit is there as Christ's personage, and it's in you. Thank God I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit in me.
Amen.
Amen? Glad I got the Holy Spirit in me. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, now you'll hear people, as I say, they'll talk about, oh, I need more of the Holy Ghost. Well, let me ask y'all something. I married Lynn here just a little shortly over a year ago, and she became my wife. Let me ask y'all a question. How can I get any more of her than I've already got? I want some more, honey. I want some more of you. Well, I mean, there ain't no more of her than what's there, right? It's all there is. Can I tell you the Holy Spirit the same way? I mean, there ain't no more of Him than what you got. Now, before you jump off the end on that, think about this. The issue is, how much leeway are you giving Him in your life? How much resistance are you putting up to what He's wanting to tell you and do with you, or how much are you allowing Him to work and lead and direct and help in your life? That's where the gift of the Spirit comes in. God's Spirit, He wants to give you. And if you remember, isn't that what Jesus told Him? He said, which of you, being a father, would give your son, if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a scorpion, or if he asked for an egg, you'd give him a rock, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them than ask of Him? In other words, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And then after you have Him in your life, how much leeway, how much power, how much authority, how much are you going to yield yourself over to Him? Listen, when you yield yourself more over to the Holy Spirit, you can hear some heavenly things better. You can see some godly things a whole lot clearer. You can understand a lot of godly issues with a greater deal of clarity. The Scriptures open up. Do you know how you're going to get more of the Scriptures? By letting the Holy Spirit teach you. By letting Him enlighten you. Amen? I mean, I've heard people a long time ago, well, I've read that Bible from cover to cover. Brother, unless the Holy Ghost is there teaching, you won't know nothing, but it's just another book, another read, another thing like a magazine or a newspaper. You better have the Holy Spirit, because He shows you some stuff that nobody else can. And that is as Paul says, he said, the life that I now live, he said, I live through the Son of God who lives in me. He's in me. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism puts you in him. But the gift of the Holy Ghost as he comes into your life puts him in you. Okay? Puts him in you. Then, last of all, let's talk about this just for a few minutes. Thinking about that Holy Spirit coming in. That makes your, let's get back to that just for a minute. That makes your material body a temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And Christ wants to live in that place of you. That's in this old, Paul said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Didn't you know that? Well, preacher, it don't matter what. Yes, it does matter what you do. It does matter where you go. It does matter who you're around. It does matter what you put in you and what you do to you. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives in here. And you sure don't want to offend him. You don't want to disgrace him. You don't want to come up and bow up against him. Brother, you need to yield yourself to him. Amen. All right, now let's move on to one last thing here, kind of moving into the last issue. Let's talk about what does my water baptism mean? What does it mean to be dunked in the tank? And, you know, some people say, well, I've seen them go down wet center, dry centers, come up a wet center. Well, I have too. And that's, you know, if it's anything, it's my fault. More, it ain't the Lord's fault, okay? But your water baptism, the Bible tells, Peter says, that it is the answer of a good conscience to God. Well, what all does that entail? Well, I'll say this. Your water baptism, when you get in a pool of body of water, wherever you're at, you can get in a lake, you can get in a creek, you can get in a swimming pool, you can get in a baptism pool. It doesn't matter where you get. Amen? I mean, hey. I've told people before, if baptizing folks got them saved, let's get us a shotgun and a wash tub and go to business, amen? But that ain't going to do it, right? That's not going to do it. But your water baptism, what does it do? Well, let me just say this. It magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ by your going through that process, getting in the pool, getting in the water, being buried and raised. It magnifies the Lord Jesus, but not only does it magnify, it identifies you with him. It says, I believe that Jesus died for me, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And I'm not ashamed to identify with that. Amen? I mean, that's what it says. You're telling the world. Man, I'm telling you, I've got a list of photographs that Sister Judy had on her camera roll of a lot of these kids and even adults being baptized in this pool back here. Been a while since we baptized somebody, right? And that ain't God's fault. It's ours. Amen. But I've got pictures, and I've looked at those, and I've seen there's some folks that we had to get a little wooden crate to put in the bottom of that baptistry so they could stand on it so they have their little head up out of the water. There's some of them that was about three times taller than me, and I had a tough time getting them under the water. But it's just a thrill to go back and look and see. When God, and you know what every one of them did, I always give anybody, say, you got anything you want to say? And some folks are very shy. They don't speak very loud. They don't say very much, and that's fine. But, you know, I just look at them and say, are you saved? Yes, I am. You know that Jesus saved you from hell. Hallelujah. I know that he saved me. You ready to identify as one of his? And I've never had one yet tell me they wasn't ready for that. I said, okay, let's get ready. We're going under the water. Amen? Boy. And I'm glad when you come up, there, I mean, it didn't wash away anything. It didn't change anything for you. It just told the world that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, and now I'm risen in a new life as He came back from the dead. And I'm one of His. Amen? And Paul was just bringing these fellows through this. Now, as I said, their ignorance is nothing to be necessarily even concerned about for us. I mean, really. I'm just telling you, don't stay ignorant. Aren't you glad they didn't? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, saying ignorant. They just didn't know. That's all ignorant means, is that you did not know. And they didn't know. They said, we've not so much heard. If there even is a holy, we haven't heard it. We don't know what that means. Paul said, let me tell you. And when he got through, they said, hallelujah, we believe it. And if that's what Jesus said, thank God, count us in, we're going to do it. And then the Holy Ghost came upon them. And again, now remember, you're in a transitional period. The Bible says after they were baptized that they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now, anytime you want to look it up, you look it up, and it says they spoke in tongues. You know what that word tongues means? It means another language. It means a language that is not necessarily that person's native tongue, but it belongs to somebody, some people here on the face of this earth. If you remember in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, there's a group of them, and they said, how can we hear in our own tongue, in our own language, the wonderful works of God? Amen? Because the Holy Spirit left. I don't know what these guys did. I don't know how they, I don't know nothing about it. It's not, we're not given any in-depth reasoning on it. We're just given the fact. And you know what I say? Hallelujah. They're saved. Amen? I'm glad tonight. Hey, I'm glad I got baptized. I got baptized in about this time of year, in August of 1975. I got baptized. And I was in Rock Creek over at the foot of Lookout Mountain over in Flintstone. Out behind old Yates property back in there, Brother Alvin. I was out there in that water, and I made the fatal mistake. My daddy was here. My pastor, Brother Larry Underwood, was here, and I announced my calling to preach right there in the middle of that water, and they liked to drown me. They started shouting and splashing and dunking and carrying on, and I thought, boy, I should have waited until I got on dry land to do this, I think. But, I mean, I was all kinds of wet that day. But can I tell you, boy, God's been good. Amen? And aren't you glad that you had that privilege of telling this world, I believe in Jesus? But beyond that, aren't you glad you got baptized by the Holy Ghost of God when you got saved? When you got saved. That's when you get it, folks. When you get saved, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God in that washing and the renewing of the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. He makes you a new creature, and the Holy Spirit moves into your life. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's get a songbook tonight. If you've got any need, any prayer need, or anything you need to...